Here.
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 Here we have a quorum.
All right. So my microphone now works. All right. That was so quick. Thank you, everybody, for coming, and good afternoon, members. We have five bills on the agenda today. I don't anticipate we'll use up our entire time block, understanding some folks have other committees to go present in, we will call Representative G. Lombardo to present House Bill 1551 first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. I do have a strike-all amendment that changes the bill. Can I just go to the strike-all?
For the sake of time, sure. You are recognized to present barcode 417485.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The strike-all amendment requires the applicant to submit a complete set of fingerprints for background check, requires the fingerprints to be forwarded to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement for state processing, requires FDLE to forward the fingerprints to the FBI for national criminal history check, and provides that the fees of the fingerprint process will be borne by the Division of the State Guard, and that is the strike-all amendment.
Thank you very much, Representative. Members, are there questions on the strike-all amendment? Representative Antonio, recognized.
All right, thanks, Mr. Chair. And this is a softball question. What's the basis for making those changes? Is there a problem that you're addressing with the background checks?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the question. So currently with the State Guard, when on the onboarding process, they never had authorization to collect fingerprints or do level two background checks. And when you're activating state guardsmen to go in some of these disaster zones and some of these areas, you want people that have a background check similar to the regular National Guard. So that's what this does. This just gives them the ability to do that.
Any follow-up? No. Representative Daly, you are recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, I've seen this bill once before. Does the strike all address some of the concerns that I raised in the last committee stop?
Representative G. Lombardo, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, it completely strikes the whole bill out except for the level two background checks.
Any follow-up? All right, members, are there any further questions on the strike-all amendment? We have two forms for public testimony. The first form is Sergeant Delcina Beatty. You're recognized.
Thank you, it's fine. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So currently, the State Guard, when we created it, it has authorization to have memorandums of understanding or mutual aid agreements. So if there's a whole association for State Guards, because there's 23 other states that have them, and so a lot of them can do these mutual aid agreements. I would suspect, I don't know for a fact, but that we do have mutual aid agreements with other states. They can send people here, we can send people there. It's done with the National Guard all the time. So to answer your question, it does. You can still do it. My bill, though, does not touch any of that. It strikes the entire section as what we saw out last time and just addresses level two background checks.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Seeing no further public testimony on the amendment. Members, we are in debate on the amendment. Representative Robinson, you're recognized for debate on the amendment.
Thank you, Chair. And I just wanted to thank Representative for bringing this amendment about to address some of those concerns so that I can actually vote up on it.
Members, any further debate on the amendment? Seeing no further debate, Representative G. Lombardo, you're recognized to close on the amendment. Representative G. Lombardo, having waived close, DJ, please call the vote on the amendments.
Chair Andrade?
Yes.
Vice Chair Cheney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives Antone?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Gia Lombardo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Lamarca?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Yeager is excused. That is 14 yeas, 0 nays.
All right. The amendment having been unanimously adopted, we are now on the bill as amended. We have one public testimony form on the bill. Sierra Dean, Florida State Guard, waves in support. Thank you very much. And I apologize, Sergeant Beatty. I misread your form. I thought it read that you were here to appear on the amendment. Would you like to provide any additional testimony on the bill as amended?
Still, Sergeant Sina Beatty. At this point, I'm confused, but I will address the issue of concern on my part, the bill. In 1551, the foundation of our government, of the United States of America, and also includes the government of the state of Florida in our constitutions, established three forms of government. And you all know that. I'm preaching the choir. But what I would point out is, if the bill that was presented includes the statement that allows the governor's sole power to deploy a force that is trained to produce lethal force, I would say that exceeds that power and balance of power that should be contained within all three branches of government. And at this point, I apologize for my confusion on what the bill actually presents, but if it does contain that provision that our Florida State Guard be allowed outside the state, I oppose this bill and request that you vote no. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Seeing no further public testimony, members, we are now in debate on the bill as amended. Is there any additional debate on the bill as amended? Seeing no debate on the bill as amended, Representative G. Lombardo, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just to clarify, the bill for the State Guard only gives them the ability to do level 2 background checks. That's what the bill is. That's it. Thank you.
Having closed on his bill that provides the ability to do level 2 background checks, DJ, please call the vote on the bill. Yep.
Chair Andrade?
Yes.
Vice Chair Cheney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives Antone?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Gia Lombardo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Lamarca?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Yeager? That is 14 yeas, 0 nays.
Show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative. Next up, we have House Bill 1301 by Representative Abbott. Representative Abbott, you are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. HB 1301 establishes a tiered funding requirement for landscaping on transportation projects, extends the prepaid tolling dormancy period, and allows the Turnpike Enterprise to establish and procure electronic payment processing contracts. Places prohibitions on expending state funds if an entity that receives state funding is found in violation of certain provisions, allows the department to enter into service contracts with the Florida Department of Transportation Financing Corporation to fund the 20 projects included in Moving Florida Forward, places limitations on what the department may consider for the purposes of transportation planning, creates the Supply Chain Innovation Grant Program, adds additional provisions to the department's New START Transit Program, limits administration expenditures of public transit providers, and establishes guidelines for the expenditure of state funds related to advertising on public transit providers. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Representative Abbott. Members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Lopez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep. Abbott. I had a concern that FDOT now has a lot of flexibility because of the current 1.5% of work program allocation they can use for highway beautification. It's super important in South Florida, as I know you and I have discussed, and I'm concerned that this your bill actually significantly reduces the spending for that beautification. And what we have seen in the past, that the amount can vary by region, can It can vary by needs of the community. So I was just trying to figure out, first of all, how did we come up with this sort of glide path, if you will, on that? And does it really, sounds like it's much more complicated to administer than what was there before. So maybe you could answer how we got here with this part in the bill. Thank you.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the question. So we got here because what was happening is we're mandated to spend 1.5%, which is great because we do have the beautification and we have some of the prettiest highways and roadways in the country. But what we're trying to avoid is some of the larger projects, especially when you get into 1.5%, sometimes we find ourselves trying to meet the 1.5% instead of meeting just the landscaping requirement of that project, if that makes sense. A $400 million project may be a couple overpasses where you really don't even have planting material. And so what was happening is sometimes we find ourselves planting trees miles and miles away from where the project was at just so that we're spending the money to meet the 1.5%. And so we're trying to find a much more prudent way of watching taxpayers' dollars and make sure we're not just spending the money to spend the money to meet 1.5%, but we're also meeting the needs of the landscaping.
And members, we will have an opportunity to go into more detail on questions, but that question reminded me that we do have one amendment sponsored by a member of this committee, Representative Brackett. There is no barcode, but each member should have a copy of the amendment before them. Representative Brackett, you are recognized to present your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment simply removes lines 78 through 119, which is the tiered system that I think that Representative Lopez was just speaking of.
Thank you very much, Representative. Members, are there questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment. Representative Cheney, you're recognized.
So thank you for recognizing me, Chair. So we removed the tiered system, so now we're back to a flat 1.5% no matter what the project is?
You're recognized.
That is correct.
Okay, given the information we just heard, that doesn't sound like a good idea. Thank you for answering the question.
All right. Are there any further questions on the amendment? Representative Burfield, you're recognized.
Is this a friendly amendment?
Representative Abbott, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, ma'am, it is.
Any further questions? Seeing none, is there, seeing no public testimony on the amendment, is there a debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate on the amendment, Representative Brackett, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
Wave closed, Chair.
Thank you very much. Representative Brackett, having wave closed, and there may be dissension in the ranks. DJ, please call the vote on the amendment.
Chair Andrade?
Yes.
Vice Chair Cheney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives Antone?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Gia Lombardo? Harris?
Yes.
LaMarca?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Yeager? That is 13 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you very much, DJ. Show that amendment adopted. Members, we're now back into questions on the bill as amended. Representative LaMarca, do you still have a question? No? Representative Harris, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, bill sponsor, also for getting back to me about the questions that I had the last time I saw this in committee. I just have one more question. I wanted to know if this would limit the type of businesses that could advertise on the bus, for instance, like a large law firm.
Representative Abbott, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So no, a lot of the, as we spoke about earlier, a lot of the transits already have the authority of who can advertise, and so it goes to the public transits and their council to seek that. And then if they still have questions, DOT is a willing partner that they can reach out to.
Members, is there any other questions on the bill as amended? Seeing no questions on the bill as amended, we are into public testimony. First up is Jeff Castor, retired landscape architect, who's an opponent of the bill.
Good morning, and thank you for this opportunity to express my concern with the provision of House Bill 1301 that drastically reduces the funding available for highway beautification. My name is Jeff Castor. 27 years of my career were as a landscape architect at the Florida Department of Transportation down the hill in the Burns Building, serving 9 department secretaries and 6 governors. The last 20 years, I was state transportation landscape architect, generally responsible for development and implementation of rules, policies, procedures governing the design, construction, and management of landscape projects in all 67 counties. In my 27 years at the department, no town, city, county, state representative, state senator asked for less landscaping on the state highway system. None asked for less than their share. Rather than asking for less, they did often ask for it to be better. So I would encourage us to revisit how we could make it better. The bill does not create flexibility for landscaping as stated in the bill analysis, but will further complicate a complicated programming procedure and make the state's highway beautification program smaller, not better. The existing statute wisely gives the department maximum flexibility. At the will of the department, most road and bridge projects are now built without any landscaping. A standalone landscape project may or may not follow. The scope, scale, and costs are always determined by the department. 1.5% is an agency-wide target, always allocated by the department as they believe best. The bill will not reduce the department's budget or save money. It will simply increase the amount for road building by reducing the amount to landscape our roads. Nothing gets better, just less landscaping and beautification on our highways. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Castor. That language having been pulled out of the bill, would you like me to change the form to proponent of the bill?
Has it been pulled
yes,
out? Then that's what I misunderstood. I'm sorry.
Perfect. Thank you, sir.
Then I would support the amendment.
Perfect.
Thank you for...
Show Mr. Sorry. Castor's form amended. Next up, we do have one appearance form for information only. Mr. Bradley Kuznier, Florida Tax Watch. Do you wish to appear? All right. Seeing no further public testimony, members, we are in debate on the bill. Representative Antone, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Great bill. I just hope that your bill has something in it that will ensure that the Department of Transportation cuts the grass and picks up the trash on Highway 50 and Kirkman Road in my district. So that's all I have. In a timely manner.
Any further debate? Representative Cheney, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Rep, for bringing this bill forward. I particularly like the Supply Chain Innovation Grant Program. I think that's a really forward-looking thing for Florida to do. We saw what happened during COVID. We're not immune to that possibly happening again. So I'm happy to see that Florida is leading on such a program. Thank you for putting that in the bill.
Representative LaMarca, do you have debate?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I did have a question before, but it was answered just like Mr. Castor's. Representative, thanks for bringing the bill. As somebody who ran quite a few agency bills, this agency in particular a couple years ago, I know that there can be a lot of pressure on the bill sponsor, and I appreciate you listening to the members, listening to the professionals that came to you, but in support of the bill, and appreciate you working with us.
Thank you very much. Representative Harris, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative. There are parts of this bill that I think are good, but I am still hung up on the part where we carve out the inability for public transit to have notices about testing for COVID or vaccinations. I just feel like when we start to take apart one aspect of what the CDC is suggesting, then it opens the doors that we leave it to others. And I know that we talked about it, but I really would feel much more comfortable supporting this bill if that part of it was just not there. So I will be a no for today. Still trying to work up to a yes, though. And I appreciate your time and your coming to talk to me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members. Any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Abbott, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're still working on the bill. A lot of these sections are still, we're having great conversations with those that are interested in the bill, and so the landing spots are going to be different than what you see today. So there's a lot of conversations and a lot of work still being done on this bill. And Representative Cheney, you're right. The Innovation Grant is a terrific idea, And one of my next pieces of working on that is trying to get the money into that grant program. So that is something that will be a focus throughout the rest of this year, is making sure we get funding into that grant program. And with that, I'll close.
Representative Abbott, having closed on this bill, DJ, please call the vote.
Chair Andrade?
Yes.
Vice Chair Cheney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Silvers?
No.
Representatives Antone?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Daly?
No.
Esposito?
Yes.
Giolombardo?
Yes.
Harris?
No.
Lamarca?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Plasencia?
Yes.
Robinson?
No.
Yeager? That would be 10 yeas, 4 nays.
Show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Abbott.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Representative Bankson to present CS for HB 981. Representative Bankson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and members. I call this bill my up, up, and away bill. As a pilot, aviation is in my blood, and I love this bill. Advanced air mobility, it's on the horizon for us. It's truly the next level when it comes to transportation delivery. As a national leader in transportation, Florida continues to lead the way through FDOT by adopting a leading role in integrating AAM in the state. FDOT has completed numerous work products to build a foundation of knowledge within the state to advance the industry, the most recently being the AAM Working Group, composed of 50 various stakeholders who held meetings over the past year and developed a report which examines the different roles and responsibilities of federal, state, and local governments and includes the recommendations based on those roles. Advanced Air Mobility, or again AAM, also called vertiports, is an air transportation system primarily utilizing electronic vertical takeoff and landing aircraft to move people and goods or provide services in an urban or regional setting. In working with the AAM Working Group, industry partners, FDOT, and Chair McFarland, this proposed legislation incorporates some of the working group recommendations, including designating the FDOT Aviation Office as a resource to stakeholders regarding vertiports, designation of an AAM subject matter expert within the office, and submission of annual reports on growth of the industry in Florida. The bill amends the definition of airport and aircraft and removes unnecessary definitions. The bill removes preemption of local regulations relating to vertiports, restores current law that generally prohibits landfills in the immediate vicinity of an airport, and amends the vertiport registration and licensing process while still requiring that FDOT conduct a physical inspection for vertiports. Further, this bill reverts portions of the airport zoning laws to language as it existed prior to changes made last session. Specifically, the bill requires airport zoning regulations to address, rather than merely consider, a list of things specified in statute, generally prohibits residential construction and educational facilities within a specified buffer zone adjacent to the airport if the airport has not conducted a noise study in order to better define adjacent areas that are compatible with residential construction and educational facilities. And finally, it adds an exception to the buffer zones described above in order to allow residential property within the buffer zone of a public use airport that has as its sole runway a turf runway measuring less than 2,800 in length. Lastly, the bill establishes the Greater Orlando Aviation Authority as the designated test site for AAM in the state. And that's the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Representative Bankson. Members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Antone, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Bankson, for presenting this good bill, because I think it does kind of put in place the framework of the groundwork that we need in Orlando to make sure this is a designated test spot. And I'm sorry I didn't ask you these questions beforehand. So I do kind of have a quick question. I mean, who determines the takeoff and landing rights for the aircraft using the vertiport?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the question. Right now, of course, we're waiting on the FAA, which determines everything that's above the ground. This is really the groundwork, the foundation to build upon.
Any follow-up? You're recognized.
All right, and thanks again, Representative Bankston. So when we have these vertical taxis, whatever you call these things, are they handled by the air traffic control tower, or do they just have leeway to just take off and go here, there, and everywhere?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, thank you for the question. Again, that's something waiting on the FAA, but FAA will govern those things. So similar to helicopters, they still have to abide by those rules. They won't just simply go willy-nilly, as it were. So.
Follow up?
And one last question, and I guess the subject matter expert, is there some specific job requirement or qualifications that that person will have to have?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for the question. And clarifying, you mean the pilots of these vehicles? Oh, okay. Clarifying.
Yeah, the subject matter expert that's being hired by the Department of Transportation.
You're recognized.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, sorry, I misunderstood. Basically, they will be that they'll be working with FDOT because this is the beginning phase, stage one. And basically, FDOT will begin working then through this to answer the questions that municipalities and different ones will have as this begins to move forward.
Any further questions, members? Seeing no further questions, we're now in public testimony. First up is Stephen Fultz, Aviation Communities. Is an opponent of the bill.
Wow, this is amazing. I'm here in the People's House addressing a grievance with the honorable representatives, and what could be more American than that? Just thank you all very, very much for the opportunity, and I want to thank Representative Bankson for this bill. I am a 110% supporter of AAM. I believe in it. I believe it'll actually go hybrid rather than all electric, but that's another story. I'm here to discuss the issue with the prohibition of residential that was repealed last year. And it's a significant issue because it impacts a number of airports, primarily, not just primarily, but my airport, specifically with respect to the term turf that's in here, was used to help our airport. But there are many other airports that are unaware that they are being significantly negatively impacted. There are other airports that are positively impacted by this prohibition. And so we have a fundamental issue, is that my ask, my selfish ask, is to simply remove the term turf. Unfortunately, that doesn't help other airports that I support. I, too, am an aviator, lifelong. My son flies. He's Captain Breeze Airways. And there are some very complex, deep issues involved with the last approximately 10 sentences of this bill. Last year, the issues were created in 2016. It was brought to our attention by our county attorney. They tried to close our public use airport because of this. Last year, there was a bill introduced that passed that fixed the problem but had unintended consequences for other airports. So now we're reverting back, and we've got a carve-out for one airport. I've done the research. There's millions of dollars of residential property that are going to be negatively impacted by this, including St. George Island. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's a very complex issue, and I can't get into the weeds with it now, but I understand it fully and completely, and I think it's an issue that needs to be addressed before it moves forward in this form. And again, no disrespect, I appreciate the bill, and I understand the intent to help these mid-size airports, but you're killing the small-size airports, and you're going to force closures of airports. And our county attorney claims that there will be $14 million worth of takings claims in our county if we continue to be a public-use airport, and they elected to actually try to close our airport because of that. And then we had a grassroots effort. We had a number of organizations, Experimental Aircraft Association. I mean, we had EAA, we had AOPA, we had Flying Magnet. These people that really made this push, and we got the change last year, and now we're repealing that change. Unfortunately, I don't think that it's fixing what really needs to be fixed with respect to that. So those, again, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I know how hard this is for you, getting pulled every direction, and I just sincerely appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Next up, we have Jeff Sharkey on behalf of Volocopter as a proponent, waves and supports. Then Jared Rosenstein on behalf of Ferrovial, waves and supports. And Kyle Shepard, City of Orlando, waves in support. Thank you very much. Seeing no further public testimony, members, we are in debate on the bill. Debate. Representative Antone, you're recognized.
All right, thanks again, Mr. Chair. And again, I'm not beating up on your bill. I like what you're doing here, what you're attempting to do here. I do have some real concerns, and one is that the FAA has not weighed in on the vertical taxis at this point in time. To my knowledge, I'm not aware of that. And so I think your bill does put a framework in place to kind of rein in this vertiports and vertical taxis before this stuff gets out of hand. There's got to be some rules, some guidelines. I am concerned that the designated test site is the Orlando International Airport, which is probably one, two, or three of the busiest airports in the state of Florida. And I'm concerned about these vertical taxis taking off and landing at such a busy airport. And will there be a cap on the number of vertical taxis, and will the vertical taxis overwhelm the air traffic control tower? So we've got 50 million passengers coming in, a whole bunch of planes every day, all day. So, I mean, we're going to have 100, 200, 300 vertical taxis, and what does that do to the air traffic controllers? I hope I'm making sense, but I'm going to vote for the bill, but I do have some real concerns, I think some valid concerns about where this is all going. So thank you. A good bill.
Any further debate? No further debate. Representative Bankston, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to address that's actually one of the reasons that I lean towards Greater Orlando Aviation Authority, because they do have expansive area that is not over, that does not coincide with the airports or with other housing, any of those things. So they put over $20 million in, very high tech. And again, those will be governed by FAA. We're trying to get FAA to weigh in before that. That's in their purview, and they will regulate on those things. So I think it can give you more. We can chat more on that. And again, I appreciate the expression of the individual that came up. I tried to run a bill last year to protect small airports, so I'm not sure quite where that is. We've not had that, but I'm very open to have discussion there, because I want to protect our small airports. So I think that it's possible a misreading of that, but I'm looking forward to that. So that being said, let me close. So again, I do want to thank FDOT and the AAM Working Group and industry partners for their valued insights and partnership in helping make this bill a reality. And a special thank you to Rep. McFarland and her staff, who have helped shepherd this through this groundbreaking legislation. Where Florida's been a national leader supporting the commercial airspace industry and developing a connected and autonomous vehicle technology, AAM presents another opportunity for this state to continue leading the charge. And with that, I close.
Representative Bankston having closed, DJ, please call the vote.
Chair Andrade?
Yes.
Vice Chair Cheney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives Antone?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
G. Lombardo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Lamarca?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
That'll be 14 yays, 0 nays.
Thank you very much. Show that bill reported favorably. Congratulations. Next up, we have Representative Tant here to present House Bill 1469.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ranking Member, and thank you, Vice Chair Cheney, for taking up this bill today. Members, this is a bill related to hands-free driving, and it was brought to me by a constituent whose son was not only just hit by a distracted driver, but completely run over and killed in just a tragic situation. I don't know if Demetrius is here today. He was at our last committee hearing. At any rate, what this bill does is bring Florida law to, we already prohibit texting while driving. This will also mean we can't phone call while driving, and that is while we are holding our phones and driving. So if you do not have a phone, a car that has a device that lets you go through the car system, you can put your phone on speaker, or you can put it in a holder. So that doesn't mean that if you don't have an up-to-date car, you cannot be compliant with this law. So also what this bill does is it includes the same enhanced penalties for phoning while talking while driving or holding your phone and talking while driving as it does for texting while driving in school zones, work zones, and in school zone crosswalks. So those are the same penalties that apply there. And also in lines 46 through 68 of the bill, it defines the devices, and in lines 90 through 105 contains the same exemptions for phoning, holding your phone while driving as it does to texting while driving. As we know, distracted driving is an increasing problem in our state as well as my own community. We've had a number of pedestrian deaths as well as biking deaths as well as other distracted driving deaths here. And my local biking community here told me recently that they don't feel safe to bike in Tallahassee, that they actually go to a neighboring county, Jefferson County, which is less populated, in order to pursue their hobbies on the weekends. Tallahassee is one of many communities that wants this bill, and the Hillsborough County has the highest traffic fatality rate in America with 67.6 deaths per 100,000 residents to distracted driving in Florida as a state. Ranks second worst in this county, in this country, for distracted driving. So, members, that's the reason for the bill, and I ask for your support.
Thank you very much, Representative Tant. Members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Cheney, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Andrade. Thank you, Rep. Tant, for your concern about pedestrian and biking safety. Appreciate mm-hmm. that. Do you have any data that demonstrates driving hands-free and on a speaker versus a phone up to your ear? Is there really a difference in those two things?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Chair, the Florida law says that you cannot be looking at your while you're texting. So that is what we're doing, is joining this effort into what we're stopping with texting by looking at your phone while you're driving. And in fact, on my way to work the other day, when I was coming in for his first committee hearing, there was a woman behind me on her phone, holding her phone, driving. And I think she was FaceTiming someone because she was literally driving like this and talking and doing, and then sometimes her other hand left the steering wheel and she was right behind me. So I do believe, I don't have any statistics to give you right now, but I can certainly circle back to you. But I think that this makes sense to actually conform Florida law, not just for texting, but also for phone, holding your phone while you're driving, so that we can have enhanced safety for our pedestrians, other drivers, and certainly our biking community.
Any follow-up? No. Any further questions? No further questions. We are now in public testimony. First up, Michelle Avila Brown is a proponent of the bill. Ms. Brown, you're recognized.
Good afternoon, Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and members. 9 people die on Florida roads on average every single day. 6 of them are attributed to distracted driving. Just let that sink in for a second. Drivers who text behind the wheel are 23 times more likely to be in a crash or a near miss. The number one crash type are rear-end collisions, highly attributed to distracted driving. There were 14.2 million crashes in the U.S. that cost the economy $340 billion, and that's a stat from 2019, and it's only gotten worse. Florida has one of the highest number of road fatalities. Depending which list you look at, we're either number 9 or number 12 or somewhere in between. It's not a good number to be, but what's even worse, Florida drivers kill more pedestrians than any other state. Florida drivers kill more people on bikes than any other state. In Florida, screen interaction time increased by 5 seconds per driving hour from 2021 to 2022. Doesn't seem like a big deal to me, 5 seconds. But what that did, it caused an estimated 3,500 additional crashes which cost our economy, Florida economy, $84 million and many lives. Ohio passed hands-free cell phone use legislation in April of 2023. This might be the stat you'd be looking for. In the 6 months that followed from their across-the-board hands-free cell phone use, there were 25% fewer road fatalities. And that was in a grace period, so it was mostly warnings that were being given. So it's only going to improve from there as there's greater adoption. Could you imagine if we could save one out of every four lives we're losing on our roads? We all agree, I'm sure, that drinking and driving is irresponsible, obviously illegal. But according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, texting while driving is 6 times more dangerous than driving under the influence of alcohol. And it's still legal and done by half the people, at least, that we're driving on our roads today. When I drove up from Collier County this morning, I saw countless examples on 75 and I-10. And the texting and driving, that's a small fraction. I see people streaming videos, the FaceTime calls, Zoom meetings. People admit to me, they do their online shopping, any number of things, just because they get bored while they're driving. Just because somebody gets bored or because they think that they're a way better multitasker than all the rest of us, they're taking lives. They're risking lives. According to a study by Cambridge Mobile Telematics, 34% of drivers were distracted the minute before they crashed. And for this study, people opted in to have an app on their phone that tracked their phone usage and interaction while they were driving. So I would think if you opted in, you probably thought you were a pretty focused driver, right? But a third of those drivers were distracted the minute before they crashed. So if we extrapolate that, in 2023, Florida had over 393,000 crashes with 3,368 lives lost and over 251,000 injuries. If we took that 34% out of the equation, well, we could have saved almost 1,200 people's lives and spared 86,000 injuries. 29 other states already have enforceable hands-free cell phone use legislation. Our laws are just too weak. It's a great start to require hands-free cell phones in school zones and work zones, but that's not where all of these crashes and fatalities are happening. They're happening on every type of road. We need hands-free cell phone use requirement on every single road. I appreciate your support on this. Happy to entertain any other questions or discussion.
Thank you very much, Ms. Brown. Next up, we have Etta Fernandez on behalf of AARP Waves in Support. George Fijo, Florida Insurance Council, Waves in Support. Joy Ryan, Nationwide Insurance, Waves in Support. Matthew Holliday, Director of Advocacy for NCH, Waves in Support. Nancy Lothar, Florida PTA, Waves in Support. And then a couple repeats. Eric Draper, Florida Bicycle Association, shockingly Waves in Support. Members, we are now in debate on the bill. Is there a debate on the bill? Representative Anton, you're recognized.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for bringing this good bill forward. One of the big advantages is that this bill is going to reduce my road rage because when I'm trying to get up here to the Capitol in the morning, people are using their devices, they're weaving across the road, they're going slower than traffic. I think it's going to make a big difference. And then as we see the number of people on the roads with bicycles and the kids with those little scooters, whatever you call them, man, those kids' lives are at risk from the people texting, making whatever kind of videos. So this is a great bill. You can count on my support.
Members, is there any further debate? Representative Lopez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for this good bill. I think I told you in my last committee, and I saw it again this weekend, so I represent the urban area of Miami. The light turns green. Now, I got to tell you the kind of traffic congestion we have. It's a standstill. Everybody's standing still. Why? Because they're all looking at their phones. They have created more congestion on the road. So I know we'll save lives, but I'm really angry about the fact that we can't get people to even look up and look at their streetlight and say, oh, it's my turn to go. So it created road rage like there's no tomorrow behind me. I thought people would jump out of their cars. So I am grateful. I know it's worked in the other states, and I'm hopeful it'll work here. So thank you for the good bill.
Thank you.
Is there any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Tant, you're recognized to close.
Thank you. I want to just leave with one thing. In discussing the insurance commissioner of our state, who I like a lot, it was in my office and we were talking through insurance issues, and I said, what do you see on the horizon next? He said, an increase in our auto insurance, which I know we've already experienced. And I said, what do you attribute that to? He said, distracted driving. That and the sheer number of people moving here a day, which is 900 a day. So our roads are... We've already got distracted drivers, and we have congested roads, which are growing more congested by the day. This is one way to help. And so with that, members, I ask for your vote on the bill.
Thank you very much. DJ, please call the vote.
Chair Andrade?
Yes.
Vice Chair Cheney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives Antone?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Gia Lombardo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Lamarca?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Plasencia?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Yeager? That is 14 yeas, 0 nays.
Show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Tant. And members, batting cleanup is Representative Tant, here to present CS for HB 341.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm presenting this bill for Representative Salzman, who's out of town today. She's up in New York City on the hate calls that she had and the threats that she had. So she's up there in court. This bill, the CS for this bill, allows individuals with a disability, their parents or their guardians of someone with a disability, to apply to include this information on a motor vehicle registration and goes into the vehicle information database. The CS made it entirely voluntary, and it also allows for an individual or registrant to remove from the database at any time that information. 61% of Americans with disabilities are in our world right now. Only 6% of those, though, have obvious disabilities. I am the mother of a child who does not have an obvious disability. And we recently had an issue in traffic in that my car, we thought we had it juiced up enough to get across town to get to the battery had died, and we thought we could get to the dealership. Well, we didn't. And we stopped in traffic, and Jeremy had a bit of a meltdown. And I had to get him calmly out of the car, get him across three lanes of traffic, situate him, and get back to the car to talk with everybody there. All I could think of is I were not there as basically the Jeremy translator, what would have happened to that child? He likely would have been Baker-acted because they wouldn't have known what was going on with this child. At any rate, I spoke at length so what that bill does is just basically allow, you'll see it's very voluntary. If you look on the bill, you'll see on line 47 that the applicant can voluntarily indicate that the applicant has been diagnosed with a particular set of diagnoses, lines 51 through 62. And you'll see, too, that on line 65, that the DHS-MV is going to come up with proof acceptable to the department. This is not new ground, members. I will tell you that when I was registering my son for his State of Florida ID renewal, I said I would love it if you could know that my son had a disability and I could put it in his record. They said, oh, here's a form. Just get a doctor's note to us and we can include that. So this is not anything, this is not new territory. The other thing that this bill does is it says that the department must allow motor vehicle owner on line 69 through 72, must allow vehicle owner or co-owner to update the registration to include or remove the information regarding a diagnosis at any time. So it's a completely voluntary bill, and I do believe it will help situations like the one my own son was in. And I think it will help law enforcement. What we're doing here is helping law enforcement understand that there might be someone in the car with some special needs who needed a little more patience, a little more understanding, a little more compassion, and I think that that is a very good outcome for this bill. Now, I have spoken with DHS-MV. This information is intended to be solely used by law enforcement officers. Names and addresses of the loved ones are not be included in the registration. There will be a marker on the vehicle registration information that there is a person with a disability in the car. And it is not going to be used for any kind of background checks unless the owner of the vehicle is him or herself disabled and asks for this, and they come, in fact, they go to apply for a commercial driver's license or they choose to change their insurance carrier. So, members, that's the bill and the reason for the bill.
Thank you very much, Representative Tant. Members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Silvers, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative, thank you for this bill. I have a couple of questions. I just want to make sure that we're going to clarify some legislative intent here.
Sure.
So on line 68, this information will sit at the Florida Crime Information Center?
Yes.
Is this because this is where a police officer will access information when they pull a car over and they run a license plate before they actually get out of the car? Is that why this information will sit there?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When the Florida Crime Information Center database looks at a vehicle, they're looking for whether it's been involved, if there's a theft of a vehicle, whether it's been part of an armed robbery or a homicide. Similarly to an employer who does not uncover information about organ donation or disabled veteran status from this or anything else, you're not going to see that field. So it's only used for criminal record access for that. So, and your question, so that information will not be part of what they see in that respect, from what I understand. So,
you recognize that.
Thank you, Chair. This information, if you go to the Florida Crime Information Center website, there's certain information that is not accessible to the public. I presume that this list or this information would not be
correct. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That is correct. Only individuals, that will not be public record information to people who are not part of the Crime Center data. So this is not public record.
Thank you.
Follow up?
Yeah. So this would only, thank you, Chair. So this would only be accessible by the police officer themselves?
By law enforcement officers and National Crime Center certified law enforcement officers.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Representative Robinson, you had a question?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. And I know that your passion for disability, and sure. I love Jeremy. So my question, just want to make
he
sure.
He loves you too.
if a person was added to, if someone was disabled, there was a minor, and they were added to the list or whatever by their parents, when they became of age and they're able, say they, you know, their disability is not that bad, will they be notified that they were added to this list, and will they be able to just solely say, hey, I want to stay on it or I don't?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Under the bill, this person can remove their names and information at any time. And that is an issue I've raised with DHS-MV, and that will be handled during rulemaking because we're talking a little bit about all that now.
Follow up?
No.
Members, any further questions? Representative Placencia, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Tant, for spending your Sunday working on this with me.
Sure.
I think I'm kind of aligned here with Representative Robinson. My concern is if I'm added as an adult or already an adult, or I'm added under the age of 18, is there a mechanism inside of the bill that would provide for notification directly?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not at this time, but I have raised this with Representative Salzman, and I believe that we are not amending this bill today for policy purposes. This is fiscal only. So this is something that we'll be working on after this committee hearing. So, yes.
Any follow-up? Representative Anthony, you had a question?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for presenting this bill on behalf of Representative Salzman. If you could just go back and explain again why you register a underage child or ward of the state.
Sure.
Representative Tant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For children who are autistic, for families of children who have autistic children who maybe are nonverbal, or a child who might be epileptic or a child who, with like my son, is cognitively disabled, is verbal, but gets very wound up and in a situation, particularly one he can't control, where he can't see the outcome. The anxiety levels shoot through the roof. And so I would like the benefit of a doubt for my loved one in a stop like that. And I believe that's the intention of this bill, so that under this act, we will know that the law enforcement officer will know there is someone in this car we need to understand is not going to necessarily hear our directive and respond, or hear a directive and respond in the way we expect for them to respond. There might be even somebody who's returned from serving overseas with PTSD and sees lights and hears, and it gets and it just ratchets up their anxiety levels. And so there are people who have a range of issues. And so this is a point to help people understand each other better. And so that, so that someone who's in that car accident, so the parent can know that when they get stopped, or if they've been in an accident and they are themselves unable to be responsive, that the law enforcement and EMT officers will know that there is someone in this car that needs extra attention. It won't necessarily need to go into Baker acting or something pretty god-awful. So that's the purpose of the bill.
Any follow-up? Representative Robinson for a second bite of the apple, and then Representative Harris.
Thank you, Chair. And I'm not sure if this should go here or not, but I just, listening to you, I wanted to know, does this bill have any education component? I know it's going to notify the officer, but would the officer have some type of maybe continuing education about how to deal with the person that they encounter?
Representative Tant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There is another bill traveling through this session right now that actually requires training of law enforcement on this. But I will also tell you that in my community, I know that I'm lucky because I live in this wonderful community. We already have ongoing training with law enforcement here, particularly about autism. The Center for Autism and Related Disorders does that training routinely with our law enforcement officers here.
Can we follow up? Representative Harris, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Tant. Thank you so much also for chatting with me about the bill yesterday. My only question is still around removing yourself from it, because on lines 49 and 50, it says that you may be removed at any time upon the request of the owner or the registrant. But if that is not the person who's on the list, how do they remove themselves if they become of age and they no longer want to be a part of this? If they're not the owner or the registrant, how do they get themselves off the list?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That is something that Representative Salzman and I are going to be working on for the next stop.
Any further questions, members? Seeing none, we're going to move on to public testimony. First up is Abdila Skier, ACLU of Florida, who is an opponent of the bill.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Abdila Skier. I am a policy strategist at the ACLU of Florida, and wanted to highlight some privacy concerns that we have with this bill as written. People with disabilities already face more surveillance and involuntary supervision than just about every other community out there. For example, disabled people are already subject to things like curfews imposed by electronic visit verification for Medicaid waiver recipients. It's perfectly legal for a caregiver to electronically track a disabled person or elderly individual without their consent, even if that person has the ability to consent, as long as their treating physician certifies it as necessary for their safety. Like all of us, physicians have implicit and explicit biases and may assume patients with disabilities have lower levels of agency and competence than non-disabled patients, thus treating them paternalistically, like allowing them to be electronically tracked in their best interest. There are already existing designations that people can voluntarily provide if they do have a development disability, as well as those who are deaf and blind. Their parent or guardian can also add them to that registry if they want to share their disability with law enforcement. Some agencies maintain registries that people can voluntarily add themselves to if they want to notify officers of the disability. disabled people already have their information shared more widely than any other community, and sharing disability status for law enforcement notification problems makes disabled people even more susceptible to data breaches than they already are. Just last month, more than 4 million records were inadvertently made public in a leak of emergency planning documents from U.S. schools, including their safety procedures for active shooter emergencies. Sensitive documents included evacuation plans with maps showing the routes that students should take and where they should gather during emergencies, details of students who pose a threat on campus, medical records, court documents relating to restraining orders and family abuse, and the names and ID numbers of staff, students, and their parents or guardians. There's no evidence that supports the claim that notifying law enforcement of disability status will decrease any negative or fatal interactions between law enforcement officers and disabled people. Telling an officer that someone has a disability without any context for what that means does not help. The officer is bringing in their own personal biases about what disability is into this situation, and there are many instances where an officer was notified of a person's disability before responding to a call, and that individual, sometimes the one who reached out for help in the first place, still ended up injured or dead. There are instances when such notification seems to have actually made the individual a target, and I want to bring up the story of Ethan Saylor, who was a 26-year-old man with Down syndrome who was killed by police when he refused to leave a movie theater. He had gone in for a viewing and wanted to watch it again immediately. His care attendant had warned officers that he would not react well if he were touched. She also advised the officers that with a little patience, the situation could be resolved. His mother was on the way, and he just needed some time. Ignoring the attendant's expertise, officers put their arms under his arms to lift him up and remove him from the theater. A struggle ensued. The three officers who had grabbed him fell along with Ethan, and he was handcuffed, with officers kneeling on him, pinned face down on the floor. Previously crying out for his mother, Ethan soon stopped struggling and was said to be unresponsive by the deputies. Ethan died hours later. The medical examiner ruled it a homicide as a result of asphyxiation, and a grand jury found no wrongdoing on the deputy's part. Ethan idolized police officers and wanted to be one. He was fascinated by the show NCIS and at times even called 911 just to ask the dispatcher questions. It should also be noted that a few sessions ago, the legislature passed a bill prohibiting businesses from inquiring about an employee or prospective employee's COVID vaccine status in the name of privacy. But here we're asking disabled people to voluntarily add their personal health information to a publicly searchable database for a program that does not decrease their chances of danger in the name of keeping them safe. People with disabilities shouldn't have to provide their personal information that would be unacceptable to ask of anyone else just to have that same right to life. Thank you, and please vote no on this bill.
Thank you very much. Next up, we have Wendy Vance, who is an opponent of the bill.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for allowing me to get up and take a few minutes of your time to speak. And I ask that you emphatically vote no on this bill. If you will notice, I am wearing all black today. There is a reason for that. I'm wearing all black to mourn the loss of autonomy and self-determination that this bill brings. No one should have their disability status disclosed without their permission, period, end of sentence, ever. That is our private information, our information to choose to disclose or not to disclose. When you take away that right, what other rights will you then strip from us? Sorry. And then this bill states that, and although I get that they're trying to work on it and might do it in rulemaking, that the person who has been put on this list without their permission, without their own self-determined choice, cannot remove themselves from that list. Again, that is a violation of privacy. Is a violation of our right to live our lives just as we see fit in our own self-determined way. And then to see that this bill would have our information stored in a publicly searchable database. And I know today they're saying it's not going to happen. But please understand, if that information becomes public, you don't make us safer. You put us in more danger. Because what criminal might not say, oh, well, here's an easy target. It is not as if we are not targeted enough that you cannot see us coming. And to know that it is a crime-related database where people who are wanted fugitives are put, for what crime am I being put here? Am I being put here for the crime of breathing while disabled? So I ask you again, please vote no on this bill. Do not begin a process that is a slippery slope, because these registration things never stop here. We have only to take a short trip into history to see what happens when you begin to separate and registrate and mark people as different. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up, we have Laura Lee Minatello, Disability Rights Florida.
Good morning, good afternoon, Chair. Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and members. First, I want to acknowledge both Representative Saltzman and Representative Tant's work on this bill. I know that I spoke briefly with, well, emailed with you, spoke briefly with Representative Saltzman, and I really appreciate and enjoyed our conversation and believe that there is commitment to work out some of the concerns that were shared here to shared by us, by DRF, and also the members. That said, as this bill stands right now, Disability Rights Florida has to oppose it. As was stated in debate, the bill, as it's written, only allows the owner or the co-owner of the vehicle to remove an individual at this point, and I agree that we're gonna get that hopefully worked out, but as of right now, that's not the case. And that not being the case is a straight up rights violation. As was stated just before me, we are dealing with autonomy of disabled people, and protection is one thing, but assuming somebody has attained the age of 18 and are not considered legally incompetent to do so, they need to be able to remove themselves, and they need to be notified that they are on this mechanism. I know that there is an amendment in the Senate version to remove the FCIC language. We would be very supportive of that. However, this bill, as it stands right now, still contains the FCIC language, and I know that there is a lot of discussion today about how public or not public that is, and that may be so, that some of it is not public, but some of it is, and I think to that point, I would just pose a question to you all just to think about. This is not a gotcha kind of question, but if it were you, would you want your information and your private protected health information included in that database? And then further is just the training piece. And I believe that there's willingness to work on the training piece. And Representative Tan is correct. There is a bill right now to address training for autism. However, there is a long list of conditions specified in this bill that there is not a training component for. And we've seen that training is the thing that makes the difference. Last committee stop, I believe it was the Santa Rosa sheriff, and if I'm wrong, please forgive me, told a story of how he recognized a young man with autism because he'd been trained, not because he was prior notified. Notification without training is not enough. So if this is the way that you all want to go, and make no mistake, ideologically, DRF does not support this, and frankly feel like it's duplicative based on some of the other things that we have. But if that is the way, please consider further training, and not only further training, but further mandatory training. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up, we have Stephen Boxar, Emerald Coast Exceptional Families.
Mr. Chair and Jody and committee members, thank you. Before I get into it, I'm very grateful that this is a voluntary program, right? Because there is concerns, and you've already heard them. We've also heard concerns previously about the sheer number of accidents that happen in the state of Florida. So my name is Stephen John Bozar. Never gets easy. I'm here to advocate for the passing of this bill. My daughter, this is partly why I write it down. My daughter, Liliana, is the only documented case in the world with Williams syndrome, Rett syndrome, epilepsy, apnea, and autism. At the age of 4 years old, Rett syndrome stole her voice, her ability to breathe, eat, swallow, and walk. Seizures regularly tear her body apart. And yet she's cognitively fully aware of everything going on. Trapped in her own body. So what this bill gives me is the peace of mind that my family will be better taken care of when I'm home or deployed in service of this country. We routinely travel through Florida for family visits and medical care. See, I was born and raised in this state, and I'll retire here. Through 23 years of military service, this has always been my home. The medical support my daughter receives here is the reason my family will stay here. In the last 12 months, my daughter has received incredible care through hundreds of medical visits, 7 hospitalizations, 911 responses, and over 30 times in an ER. In the next year, I will leave my family for 2 to 3 years. Knowing this bill passes gives first responders vital information to help my daughter will give me an invaluable peace of mind as I continue to serve. It will protect my veteran brothers and sisters that live with visible and invisible disabilities. It will equip law enforcement officers to make essential decisions in the protection of disabled persons and their families. So I ask you, please take care Please take care of my daughter and the thousands of disabled people here in the state. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up, we have Major Doug Bringmans, Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office.
Chairman, Vice Chairman, committee members, thank you for your time to let me talk here for a few minutes. I came to this country when I was 18 years old, immigrated from Europe. I've made my life here, disabled Marine Corps veteran from the first Gulf War, worked for the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office for almost 25 years. I have a unique perspective on dealing with the situation. My sister, my older sister, has a developmental disability due to a traumatic brain injury from a car accident. So she's either with my mother, who's 79 years old, or she's with me in the car. Being able to register the vehicle, not my sister, it's the vehicle we're registering to show us that there's somebody in the vehicle that has a disability. My sister, who's older than me, very easygoing, but when she starts stemming, even for me, and I'm a pretty good-sized guy, she's a handful. She's incredibly strong. Like if my mom has to take her for like a blood draw, I have to go just to try to get her past that point. As a law enforcement officer, if we have a notification on the registration that tells us there may be a person in that vehicle that has a developmental disability, a physical disability, it gives us some kind of warning of when we walk up to the vehicle, there may be somebody there that's just not going to respond the way we expect. Is it a perfect setup? By no means, it isn't. But it's a start. And somebody brought up the continued education. Myself and Ms. Nandine have gone to several sheriff's offices throughout the state to put on a course to help deputies understand how to interact with people that have autism, who have Down syndrome, who are epileptic, or who have PTSD, to give them a better understanding of how to deal with what's being presented to you or how people react. The best thing about this bill is it gives me and my mom a little bit of peace of mind that if somebody runs that tag or something happens to my mother, God forbid, or I get in a car accident and I get injured, somebody knows there's somebody in that vehicle that's not going to respond, you know, in a way we're used to. And we'll be a little bit more understanding, a little bit calmer, and have a little bit more patience. Now, are we going to have to teach all that patience to everybody in the state? Absolutely. But it's not a perfect system, but it's a very good start. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Lastly, we have Matthew Dunnigan, Florida Sheriff's Association, waving in support. Members, seeing no further public testimony, we are now in debate on the bill. Is there a debate on the bill? Representative Harris, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I do apologize for being so wordy today. I think that this bill has such a good intent. I just think that there needs to be a little bit of a clarification, and I think so tightening up the language, the process of removing yourself, and also clarifying if there's actually one person's name, if an actual name or just... And I think that's something that a lot of people are misunderstanding is that nobody's actual name would be on a list. It would just be an indication that there's somebody in the vehicle. And so I just think maybe being more clear and also working with organizations that do have concerns to try to tighten up the language. And I think that was something that we talked about yesterday as well. So I just wanted to make that point. Thank you.
Representative Daly, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative, for bringing this good bill. I just want to kind of walk through a couple of things from my perspective on the bill. First and foremost, to reiterate the fact that it is voluntary. And if somebody does not want to participate, does not want to be in the system, does not want to be flagged when a car is stopped or whatever, they don't have to participate. I do understand some of the concerns as to someone who turns 18. I'd love to see some additional language. I know you said it would be in rulemaking, but maybe we can ferret that out on our end and say, hey, when there is, you know, when someone is 18, they have to at least be notified that they're on the, you know, in the system. I look at this again, committee members, not to continue to bring this up, but I view this through the eyes of a prosecutor, where I understand when a stop occurs,
you know, that officer is running someone through that system based on the tag. And so I think that's part of why it's tied to the tag and not someone's individual license or something to that effect, just to alert that officer that, hey, someone, again, to the officer's point from before, someone in the vehicle may need some a little, need some additional attention, additional understanding, additional help. My understanding is that portion of the database is not actually public. I can tell you, just to get access myself to it, I have to go through training, I have to go through a background check, I have to go through all sorts of signed statements and affidavits that allow me to view this information, and it's only in the limited context of my duties as a prosecutor, not anything like that. So I don't know if there's additional language necessary that would clarify that this information also not be publicly available, and it's only available to that, you know, to that law enforcement officer. I, again, don't know if that's necessary at this point. Maybe it is. And I would point to something that one of the speakers got up and said, there's no data that shows it helps. Well, respectfully, sir, you didn't bring any data that shows it doesn't. And if this helps one individual, if this helps flag one individual to say, hey, maybe a little bit more time and attention is necessary in this space, then I think it works. And I think it's something worth pursuing. So thank you, Representative Tan. I'll be up today.
Thank you very much, Representative Gene Lombardo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for presenting the bill. I'm up. Just one quick thing is, so with FCIC database, there's NCIC database, and normally military guys, so classification means everything, right? Because if you could share information up, doesn't mean that the data is going to be purged at the NCIC level. Mm-hmm. So I think if you just add the word FCIC only, that just leaves it in the state of Florida, so it doesn't leave. Because if you just put FCIC data, it could go to the feds. So,
any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Tant, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. First of all, thank you so much for pointing that out to me while we were sitting here. I will raise that with Representative Salzman, and we'll take care of that. I do believe that we should allow people who are over 18 or who don't maybe not know that their parents put them on this to be able to get themselves off of it if that's what they want. I will tell you, my son's 24 years old, and so he is over the age of majority, and I did just have that experience with him. So one size does not fit all. The point of this bill is to have a safe indicator on the vehicle registration, just an indicator, not a name, not a medical condition, but an indicator that there is a loved one or someone in the vehicle that may need extra care and compassion and patience during a traffic stop. That's the point of the bill. The safe indicator tells them that someone is there with the vehicle, and to not react in a manner that would they might be and may not react in a manner they're used to. That's the whole point of the bill. The goal is to help them be treated with respect. Our police, fire, and EMS will have the ability to have the necessary information to best serve and protect every Floridian, including those who are disabled. Individuals with intellectual disabilities like my son and the larger disability community will know that when they interact with law enforcement, they will be treated fairly, they will be understood, and they will be safe. And that is the purpose for the bill. And for members, I ask for your favorable consideration.
Thank you very much. DJ, please call the vote.
Chair Andrade?
Yes.
Vice Chair Cheney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives Antone?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Gia Lombardo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Lamarca?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Plasencia?
Yes.
Robinson? Yeager? That is 13 yeas, 0 nays.
Show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative. Members, that concludes our committee agenda today. Seeing no further business before the committee, Representative Antone moves. We rise. Thank you very much.